Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you. Hour number two today, Wednesday, October the 6th, 2021. 14 coming up on 15 minutes past the hour. Joined in studio by Bob Welsh and Eric Warren. Bob wrote the great book, Three Pies Hot, The Story of the Great Ray's Pizza Shop here in Marion. All right, Bob, we ran out of time last time, and I want to make sure we get all the information in today. You've got a page of information there. What do we need to know? Now, you brought trivia last time. Did you bring the trivia this time? People love the trivia. We could give away a book this morning.
We could. I don't think I had those questions here. Because I had...
pizza trivia we could really do.
I made a list of all the businesses that we dealt with locally that are no longer here and where their addresses were, but I don't think I have that particular sheet with me today.
Well, what do you know about pizza that somebody wouldn't? Can you come up with a question off the top of your head?
What do we know about pizza?
What is something that the average person would not know about pizza?
How many ingredients are in the dough?
How many ingredients are in the dough? But there you go.
Now that's interesting.
In a basic dough, how many ingredients?
So we're just looking for a number here. How many ingredients are in the dough? Now you'll go into a drawing. We'll do the drawing this morning here at 10 o'clock, and we'll have Bob autograph the book to you, whoever the winner is. Three Pies Hot. So does anybody know how many ingredients are in pizza dough? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. How many ingredients are in pizza dough? Now, is this universal pizza dough, or is this...
I think so. I think it may vary based on, the quantity and so forth, but I think the basic dough recipe is probably true for 80% of the businesses.
Really? So the basic, how many ingredients are in the pizza dough? 740-383-9944. So what else do we have here this morning?
Well, we mentioned in the spirit of Halloween and everything,
yes.
we have a pizza poem. Let me get my best.
Yeah, get ready here.
Resuscitation voice? No. Resuscitation?
No.
Regurgitation voice?
Now, did you write this?
Yes, I did.
This is all right. Homegrown. Here we go.
We had a call late one night. A pizza for the cemetery. The driver said, shaking in fright, "This one's not for me." We reassured him, "It's for the caretaker by the light. It's not for Warren G."
I like that.
There you go.
That's a good one.
There you go. A keeper.
No. Well, we'll have to put. You have to send a copy of that to us here so we can frame that.
There you go.
Pizza and Warren G. That's good. When you rope that all together, that is a homegrown.
And my wife and I were at the popcorn festival here the last month, and we toured it, and I think we liked the festival itself, although we are disappointed in the lack of popcorn items there.
That's been a big problem.
Yeah, and I got to thinking, they should have some of the local businesses maybe make a popcorn item. Like I could do a popcorn pizza. And
really?
I was thinking about it, what it would be.
Well, we'll have to have you back now.
We'd have to have a challenge there, maybe with the other pizza shops or something in Marion, who can come up with the best popcorn pizza.
Popcorn pizza, that's
popcorn
interesting.
Pizza. That's something we didn't have back then. Of course, the Popcorn Festival wasn't here when we were here with the Great Race and everything. But the world's largest popcorn ball, or like Eric mentioned, the longest string of popcorn, for Christmas trees or something like that. What other things can you do with popcorn, similar to what they do in Circle Bar with pumpkins, maybe make some popcorn donuts or something.
Well, I'm not exactly sure why stringing up popcorn went by the wayside.
It's hard to do.
Yeah, but you know, everybody used to do it. You'd get out the needle and the thread, and you'd string the popcorn, and there'd be popcorn on your tree. I can't tell you the last time.
Well, children also used to play with blocks that were just pieces of wood cut into different shapes. Yeah, no paint. You lived in a fancy neighborhood.
I did. My blocks are painted. Thank you very much.
And now it has to be Lego, and then it went to, you know, animated, and so on and so forth.
Which is, it's very strange to me at Christmas not to see that. And the snowflakes, I don't see a whole lot of those anymore, which really didn't look like snowflakes, just the sparkly things that were on the tree, but that has gone by the wayside.
Yeah.
Times change, I guess.
And I don't want to get too far ahead. Christmas is still 81 days away. I
saw keeping track.
I saw that on the news this morning.
All right.
Otherwise, I wouldn't know, but, you know, the Thanksgiving's coming up, and I do have a recipe for a pizza stuffed turkey.
A pizza stuffed turkey.
That's right.
Okay, so you stuff the
turkey with the pizza.
With the turkey with the pizza.
Yeah.
Now, how would that turn out?
You want to find out?
Well, I don't know. That's very. Now, do you have to make the pizza before
I've
you put it in the turkey?
Turducken, but what would you call that?
A puckin?
Yeah, that's
a turkey.
That's something. That's very interesting. A pizza stuffed turkey.
Yeah.
Well, the day before Thanksgiving, well, who knows?
I mean, you put breading in there, and so you get your crust, you know, and then some of the toppings would be in there as well. You might have to, you know, it might be more one of your more exotic pizzas, not just your plain pepperoni, but it could be quite an event.
Now, I could see pizza stuffing.
Yeah.
Just in general, as a side dish, but stuffing the turkey with that would be very interesting.
Yeah, we'll have to give it a shot here.
Yeah, well, that, you know, there are so many now.
That'll kill off a few listeners.
Well, to get to the heart of the big holiday here, things are Christmas. Is there anything that can be done with pizza at Christmas?
Well, we did have one. Manager, we mentioned Dan. His initials were actually PF'er, but we won't get into that in a moment. But Dan was artistic, I guess, in some fashion. He did want to do a Christmas tree shaped pizza, and a hollow. And for Valentine's Day, he did a heart shaped pizza, and everything. It didn't improve sales any, and it wasn't met with a lot of glee, you know, everything. But he did try to make a Christmas tree pizza. But as far as making it any more Christmassy, I don't know if you would want to put any peppermint on there or not or something. I mean, nowadays, though, you have dessert pizzas. You could put chocolate and peppermint. You know, you could probably make a good peppermint pizza.
Well, it's interesting to me that I would think the most likely thing would be an ornament. Would be, you know, that would be a nice little item that people who like pizza might like.
Yeah.
But I remember, maybe it's on my mind because Alan Coulter died yesterday, David Letterman's announcer, but every year he would top his tree on television with a pizza because they had a pizza shop there in New York, and they would have the topping of the pizza, the tree, which was a big event, and they would put a pizza on top of the tree. It was a real pizza. I don't know how that would go in here, but to be honest with you, over the past, we can rip David Letterman off. He's not on anymore. Why not? The top of our tree has always been interesting because we put a Santa hat on it. And that's not all that entertaining, to be honest with you. And there is no real ceremony that goes along with this. And we've always been on the morning after Thanksgiving. We take Thanksgiving off. We come in on Wednesday night. We put the tree up. So when we come back Friday morning, the tree is up and the Christmas decorations are up. But the Friday, that Friday, and we're on that morning from 8 until 1, if we could have a tree-topping ceremony, that would be fun. I'm sure the newspaper would be right down here covering that.
If they have any reporters left.
Oh, they do. Yeah, they got one left down there.
One left.
Yeah, we'll make sure he's booked that morning to come down here for the big tree. But we could get people in here. We have a whole little thing with it. Because this year, I'm not even sure where we're going to put the tree. We're going to have to do some rearranging. First year at this studio. But it's a nice tree. It's artificial.
And they do a similar thing at the White House. You know, they have, you know, the people's tree where everybody donates an ornament, you know, from, so you get all the different things from across the country. And so you could have a people's tree with a people's topping on it or something as well there. So,
we just put it right up there, and it'll be there till New Year's. Yeah, that's the way to do it. So now, as far as the Great Race Pizza Shop, what was the high point?
The high point? I mean, as far as...
When were you having the most fun?
The most fun?
When was it the best?
I think the most fun that I had was probably the summer of 79, when Eric, myself, and Brian all worked together at Marion's story here. Mike was still alive, and we still had a lot of good hopes for the company. And we were, at that point in time, we had led that store to its highest sales ever. And so we were setting sales records, and we were having good fun doing it. We got along well with everybody. And we pulled off some of our, we talked about some of the gags we pulled and some of the hijinks that we were up to, friendly hijinks and everything. But that was probably the greatest era of fun for us as well. Because we were kings. We had the highest sales. We were doing best records of everything, and we were enjoying it. And we actually got sometimes 2 days off a week, which is a rare thing.
Now, when did the sales start to take a tumble?
I think in Marion, it probably took a tumble maybe around 81 or so after the basic formulas had been monkeyed with so much. They quit using fresh sausage and went to, the processed sausage. The regular commissary had closed by then, and so people were kind of ad-libbing some of the ingredients, everything. It became much more difficult to get a quality consistent product, and I think by then people just gotten tired of all the changes.
I cannot believe nobody knows how many ingredients are in pizza dough. They're stunned this morning. We've stunned them with this trivia question.
Maybe they're just waiting to see Florence.
It could be. It's a big deal here. It'll be forever in the studio. 740-383-9944. How many ingredients are in pizza dough? Universally. And we've got a copy of the book Three Pies Hot here. We'll get Bob, to autograph that before he leaves today.
We'll
get Eric autographed, absolutely. 740-383-9944. How many ingredients are in pizza dough? Has there been a movie that was ever focused around pizza?
I don't know Mystic about a pizza. Mystic Pizza. There.
Mystic Pizza?
There was a TV show, which I think, I at one point thought they kind of ripped us off there a little bit. There was the two guys, a girl, and a pizza place.
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah. And I thought, wonder if they stole some of our ideas. But nothing ever came out of that, but it was a good show for while it lasted. But I don't know of any pizza movies other than Mystic Pizza.
Maybe this is somebody who knows the answer. Go ahead, caller.
I'm going to guess 5.
5. Is 5 right?
I almost said the number.
No, don't say the number. That's bad in radio trivia. But not 5, right?
Close, but no cigar.
All right, thanks for calling. All right, well, it's not 5. So now, we're in the neighborhood, but we're not on top of the house yet here.
I'm not used to the radio game. You almost give away the answer. No, it's not 5.
That's right. You gotta. We want to give people a few more chances to win this morning. How many ingredients are in pizza dough? 740-383-9944. Not 5, but that's fairly close. How many ingredients in pizza dough?
And actually, this kind of brings up a topic that I was thinking about the other day, because we were talking last time about how Eric was poisoning my water with white vinegar, which apparently came out of the commissary. But I got to thinking, where did the white vinegar ever come from? Because we never had white vinegar as any ingredients. It was not in the dough. It's not one of the ingredients. And I can't think of what we used white vinegar for other than to poison me.
Well, that was purchased expressly for you.
Oh, so it wasn't hanging around.
We wouldn't want you to be poisoned, as you're so saying, with just, you know, something lying around the shop like bleach or ammonia.
No, was it a cleaning supply, maybe?
Well, apparently, no.
It was purchased expressly.
For the purpose of...
Absolutely.
So you went out and
getting taking somebody out.
Out of box.
So you went out and used your own money? Just for me.
All that money. Go ahead, caller.
I'm going to guess six.
Six.
Six is the answer.
All right. Now, did you know that, or is that just a guess?
That's just a guess.
Just a guess. All right, Mary, we have got you in for the competition, and right now you really could be the winner because we've only got a half hour left.
All righty.
Thank you, Mary. Bye-bye. All right, now we need another question.
Can she name the six?
No, that may be a stretch too far.
Another question you might ask is how many pizza-oriented Christmas ornaments Bronner's up in Frankenmuth, Michigan offers for sale?
What? Boy. Do you know the answer to that?
Yes, I do.
Well, that is very interesting.
How many pizza-oriented
Christmas ornaments?
Christmas ornaments.
Have you ever been to Bronner's up in Frankenmuth?
No.
Oh, my gosh.
That's like, Christmas town.
It is the ultimate Christmas experience.
Probably why I don't go there. I'm a little too scroogey for that.
So how many Christmas ornaments are there?
You've never bought one.
Actually, yes, I have.
Oh, all right.
Well, see, there is a Christmas ornament. All right, so how many Christmas ornaments are there available in Michigan? 740-383-9944 in Christmas Town. 740-383-9944. So this can't be a pull-out-of-the-head type of number here. 740-383-9944. How many varieties of Christmas ornaments are there available in Michigan, in Christmas Town? Now, do you want to throw another... is there anything directly related to the pizza shop that we could ask somebody?
As long as you're getting numeric there, our Grand Prix pizza was the ultimate that had everything on it. How many toppings was that?
How many toppings were on the Grand Prix pizza?
Which was everything, including the anchovies there.
That's an everything pizza at the Great Race Pizza Shop here in Marion. How many... Oh, those are nice ornaments. Very nice.
Put your top down.
Yeah, that's very nice. How many ornaments are available in Michigan, and how many pizza toppings were available on the all... Everything, I guess it's not all you can eat, but everything pizza, the Grand Prix pizza at the Great Race Pizza Shop. If you have a guess, give us a call, 740-383-9944. If we don't get any more correct answers in the next 28 minutes, Mary's going to walk away with the book today, the autographed copy of Three Pies Hot. So that's the way it goes, 740-383-9944. All you have to do is guess a number. Now, have you ever thought... in years since the business, about going back into the business?
Well, actually, at 4 o'clock this morning when I was up making pizza...
You said, boy, I need to get back into this.
The thought crossed my mind, and no, I actually went the opposite direction to go, I got to be crazy to be doing this. the thought is, you know, I mean, occasionally, I mean, it's the fallback job. You know, if I fail at everything else, I can always go back to doing pizza.
Well, I think about all these food trucks now. You know, there was an article in the newspaper yesterday, new food truck in town. Yeah, I've never seen anything like that. It's different. People, and this started heavy during the pandemic. These food trucks are a big, big deal, and people like pizza.
Yeah.
It's a whole thing.
It could be done. I mean, because we did that one, what was it, 1981 or something? We were the first pizza truck, not the first, I guess. But we were one of the pizza trucks down there on campus back in the early 80s.
Go ahead, caller.
I'm going to guess nine.
Now, nine to which? Which question?
For the toppings on the pizza.
Toppings on the pizza.
Nine is incorrect.
Nine is incorrect, but are we close?
Well, how many clues do you want me to give?
Well, just are we close?
He's on the low side.
On the low side. Nope. All right. Thank you. How many toppings were on the Grand Prix pizza at the Great Race Pizza Shop, which was the Everything On It pizza? 740-383-9944.
I think I can name them all.
Oh, you've got the whole spiel there. But everybody loves pizza. Everybody loves the food trucks. Do you have the recipe over there?
No, I didn't bring the recipe.
Didn't bring the recipe.
About an old menu there.
Now, it is the sauce, though, right? It's the sauce that makes the pizza.
I think that's what makes it more individual than anything else. Like I said, you know, the crust is pretty similar. It can be sweeter or saltier depending on how you adjust those ingredients. But I think it's the sauce that makes it individual. Because, I mean, there are so many different ways you can go there with, you know, maybe a sweet and tangy or maybe a heavy, you know, a heavy tomato flavor.
And the sauce goes on the subs as well?
Only on the pizza subs, unless you specifically ask for it. I mean, our subs generally would have an Italian dressing on them. But not pizza sauce unless they ordered a pizza sub.
When the business was opening, what was the secret to getting the word out that it's there? So many people have trouble with this now.
When we first opened, the first week we just had a small ad in the paper, you know, like maybe a 4x6 ad or something like that, just saying we're now open, you know, with the phone number, you know, and, you know, delivery and everything, but with no coupon, just to try to get things going. Because we had a couple of weeks just kind of, you know, shakedown cruise, you know, before we did a grand opening special or anything. But we had a big sign out front there. One thing, we did pass out flyers door to door. I mean, one of the things we did during our off time, during, you know, from noon to three when you had free time, we'd be out, you know, distributing, you know, flyers door to door, you know, in prominent looking neighborhoods, you know, close by neighborhoods or something like that, you know, just so the people would know to call in. And so that was one way.
Now, what was opening day like? What was grand opening like?
Grand opening, we not the very first day, but the grand opening, we had put an ad in the paper, and the big coupon there was 4 free quarts of cola with the large pizza, which it was a good deal at the time, and probably a good deal today. And we had fairly good staff. I think this was probably about a month before Eric actually started. And so we had a number of people. I mean, most of the employees at the time were fellow Domino's employees who had left. And so it was very busy. You know, we were, it wasn't the busiest night we'd ever seen. That was yet to come, but we were busy, you know, still from about 4 o'clock to, you know, 1 in the morning.
Now, what was the busiest night?
The busiest night, maybe not the most profitable night, the busiest night that I ever recall was the grand opening night in Findlay, and which was a disaster. They'd run a coupon of six free colas, quarts of cola with a large pizza, and Charlie was running the ovens that night, which was another mistake.
So he got right in there that night.
He got right in there, and he...
That's what slowed it down.
That's what slowed it down.
That's what I recall.
He burned every pizza, and everything was being made twice, you know, sometimes three times. In addition to being, you know, extremely busy from the, you know, customers calling in, you know, we were doing everything twice, you know, and it was an exhausting night.
Now here's another trivia if you need a tiebreaker, especially. What was the Coca-Cola, or for a short period of time we used Pepsi, what was it packaged in?
Oh, that's interesting. What was it packaged in? Now, this would have been late 1970s. What was cola, a quart of cola, what was it packaged in those days?
Yeah.
A quart.
I almost said that by accident.
Well, I was thinking, you know, a 2-liter is plastic, and a can is a can, but what would a quart come in? A quart of soda. All right. Well, let's see if anybody knows that. 740-383-9944. Menus are so complex now. What were some items on your menu?
We only had basically three things. The pizza, the subs, and the cola. And the pizza...
Sold by the quart.
Sold by the quart.
Sold by the quart.
for the early part. Later on, it was by the 2-liter bottle. I think we had 1-liter bottles as well.
I believe so, yes.
But that doesn't answer your question.
Yeah, no, that was a transition from American volumetric to metric.
But anyway, but we only had the 3 items there. And the one thing that frustrates me with, the printed coupon or printed menus today is that they don't tell you everything. They don't tell you, the toppings, usually, or the various, what's on a sub. They say, you get your Big Don or your huge Larry or whatever, but you don't know what's on them, and sometimes you just have to call, what's this or what's that, but our menus had everything on it. They listed, I almost said the number, they listed all the toppings, I think in order of preference, primarily. And people would order the different toppings as well. I mean, it wasn't so monochromatic as you see, with just pepperoni and mushroom or something today. People getting, a lot of, the olive and onion and the vegetarian pizzas and so forth.
Why don't you just read off those toppings real fast, Bob?
We'll see if they can grasp it, if they can count it home.
Yeah,
All right, here comes the toppings on the all-you-can-eat Grand Prix pizza. Now, see if you can count these and call back in and tell us what the number is.
Fast like an auctioneer.
All right. Pepperoni, mushrooms, onions, green peppers, sausage, ham, salami, ground beef, olives, hot peppers, anchovies, extra cheese, thick crust... I think did I miss anything there? I think that's everything there.
Now, is the crust a topping?
The caller with 9
did crust, win. The crust is not a topping there.
The crust is not a topping.
Not one of the 12 toppings.
Double crust was.
This one there.
Not the thick.
The double crust was an extra thing that you could get and pay for, but it was not a topping, and it was not part of the 12 items for the Grand Prix.
Okay.
There you go. So you I wonder... So I wonder how many items are on that pizza now. Slip that right in. How many are on there? Has anybody caught it yet? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944.
Yeah, well, maybe
they still didn't catch
sanitizer.
It. Yeah.
And one of the most popular things we had, we'd get people calling said, order pizza. And can you pick me up a 6-pack of beer on the way?
Oh, here comes! I can't imagine we're getting a call now. How did that happen? Go ahead, caller.
Did I count 12?
Yeah, I think there were 12 on that.
18 with the crust?
Yeah, well, I heard that somewhere. Now, that's without the crust, right? The double crust.
Without the double crust.
That's without the double crust. We've got it. Thank you.
I'm in twice, right?
What's that?
I'm in twice.
You're in twice now.
All right.
Thank you, Mary. Well, it's one of those things. We've got to give credit. 740-383-9944. We still do not have the answer in regard to how many Christmas ornaments there are in Michigan.
Container.
Yeah. How many of those are up there? Christmas ornaments. Pizza-themed Christmas ornaments. 740-383-9944. All right, 740-383-9944. We'll have an autographed copy of the book. All right, you have a bag now. What's...
Well, we mentioned that we had something for you.
Yes. Here we go.
The last time we were here, we brought you a... pizza crust to sign. Since you couldn't sign one at Tony Paco.
Hey, that's right.
And so we now have the commemoration. Of
Look at this.
A plaque.
Oh my goodness.
Makes you a member of the Upper Crust Society. And with a date here and everything.
Now this I like. Now this is great.
And you can hang that on the wall there, right
now,
up there next
look
to the
football. Yeah, with this. Well, this certainly will go on the wall. My goodness. Now, but we will get a picture of this. But this is—it's a real plaque here. Member of the Upper Crust Society. It's a picture of the dough that I signed, and below it, it's got the date that I signed it, September 7th, 2021. And then there's a picture of. Bob and I here the day I signed it. Now this is WWGH Radio, Marion, Ohio, number one. Now what is this Is this a... It reminds me of a pocket watch.
Well, it is a pocket watch. It kind of implies the 30 minutes or less, you know, the time...
I like that.
The time to thing there, although it was kind of rather... ambiguous there. Am I using too many big words?
No, that was... Well, thank you.
The pocket watch, the timer to get it there on time.
Well, I tell you, we will put that...
Or the time to pull Florence out of the oven.
Time is so important in radio and TV. You got everything down to the last second there, timing is important.
Timing is important. Well, I appreciate that. Thank you. Now, see, this is something that we'll put on the wall here, and people will just be in awe.
Yeah, and so when Geraldo is sitting in these seats here later in the month, and he's looking at that, and he goes... I'm not in the Upper Crust Society. How do I get to the Upper Crust Society?
This might be what gets him here.
It might be.
Because we know, if one thing we know about Geraldo is he's jealous. He's an egomaniac. And he will want to join this club. He'll want to sign a piece of pizza dough.
And he'll be number two at that
he'll
point.
Be number. Well, he's always going to be number two. He'll never be number one. I'm sorry. Geraldo will always be number two. But that is great. Thank you so much. We will definitely hang that on the wall. Upper Crust Society. There you go.
Now, is it legal to bait Geraldo?
You know, I don't really care anymore. Because at this point, as I've said time and time again, the two things we know about Geraldo, number one, he's a legendary broadcaster. Number two, he's crazy.
Well, and I think the other thing is that maybe some night Eric could come up here and maybe... bury something in the backyard and he could dig it up.
Oh, he loves to dig stuff up.
He will say, this is Charlie's vault or something.
Yeah, and what would we find in Charlie's vault? what would be his prized possession locked away in the vault all these years later?
A pack of Moors.
That would be his prized possession, huh?
Another thing, where else do you find a corporate president always bumming a cigarette?
Well, that's very interesting.
How many did he get off of you? As many as he could, I'm sure.
Yeah, I probably made more than him at the time.
But yeah.
Well, what was his title?
Well, depending on the day, it was either president or vice president or store manager. I mean, he went by all three titles simultaneously.
Now, who was president if he was vice president?
Well, he was, of course.
He was both?
Yeah. He would not let anybody else be president over him.
See, if the government ran like that, we'd get things done a lot quicker.
That's right.
If you had the president, vice president, and store manager all the same person.
That's right. You could have a vote, some of the votes might have came out 2-1.
No. Were there votes that went on things? Did he ever lose?
No.
He got his way.
I don't recall ever a single vote on anything. There might have been a little discussion, and...
It was much like the voting in Russia when...
Well, communism.
Yes, you get communism. Your very favorite communist leader, and it's always the same person.
Now, have you found his grave yet?
Actually, Eric and I were just talking about maybe stopping there on the way home.
It's Halloween.
And see if the line is down.
You've got to go and visit this man and leave something.
Yeah.
I don't know what you'd leave there, but...
Well, I know what I would leave there.
Not flowers.
I've had a lot to drink this morning.
Oh.
Well, they do have black dahlias.
Is there any redeeming quality to this man?
Yes, he started the business where we all got to know each other.
Yeah.
That's his redeeming quality.
I guess that would be the redeeming.
Did he have a redeeming personal trait?
That would be a redeeming act. Personal trait.
Was he ever fun? Was there ever a good laugh with the guy?
Maybe a laugh.
I'm trying to picture this man.
I don't think I ever heard him tell a joke, at least even...
He was always on the rather serious side.
Now, he would come in. Now, is this one of those things where, you know, when the boss comes in, people shape up real fast?
Oh, yeah. We had a thing there that we would, you know, if we knew he was coming, like, he'd maybe leave the Marion store and head to the Findlay store, because we weren't allowed to do long distance at the time. That was a big no-no. And so we might call up there and just say one word, T-Bird alert! And that would be the word that Charlie's coming up there, and we'd hang up, you know, and try to get everything to under 5 seconds there to minimize the long-distance charges, because that was a big no-no at the time. And so we would warn people that he was on the way. And so you might have a half hour to an hour to shape up real quick, you know, and... and prepare for, you know, inspection or whatever.
Polish the baseboards?
Polish the mop the floor, you know, wake up the manager in the back, you know.
Now, Eric, what is the worst tussle or disagreement you ever got in with him?
I never really got into very many disagreements with him, as I recall, ever, because he showed up, I left. I was a driver. So that meant I was only in the store long enough to pick up a pizza and leave.
Well, no, you say that, but you overlook the entire commissary career. I mean,
when you were running the he never came down
again.
Shook you down?
I just left the store. No, quite frankly, commissary was done during the day.
He was a night owl.
Yeah, there was minimal contact with Charlie at that period of time.
So there really was never, it was just, I don't like the guy. It's never anything he did.
No, I communicated with Mike.
Oh, okay.
Mike was always around or available and intelligent. You could talk to him, reason with him, so on and so forth.
Now, when you quit, did you get a chance to get anything off your chest?
There was nothing to get off my chest. You could already see the way it was headed. And, it was kind of like, why bother slinging something at a out-of-control wagon going off a cliff?
Now, Bob, you've still got pent-up frustration against Charlie all these years later. Did you ever have a moment with him? Blow up?
No.
Never?
No.
Now, why? Was he an intimidating guy?
A little bit. But at some point, you just didn't care, but I'm thinking even some of the other people who walked out and left and made a big scene didn't do it in front of Charlie. Mm-hmm. When both Bill and John left out of Columbus, Brian out of Marion, but everybody walked out, it was always not in his presence.
Yeah, it was when he wasn't there, usually.
Yeah, even when I was let go, and I had my parting words, it was not in charge.
What were the parting words?
My parting words were...
Now clean it up for radio.
No, it was clean, I'm a clean guy. It was Larry who let me go, and I said, how much did you pay for this job? And I said, good luck on your future, that was...
Out the door.
Well, that was one of the things Charlie was famous for, is having other people fire. He would actually hire people to...
Fire people.
Oh. Well, you know what? Not knowing the man, obviously some of his skills in business were poor, but it does sound like he did command a presence.
I would say that is true, yeah. I mean...
Well, as with anyone who is successful, be it in business or what have you... that's always a little bit intimidating because they have made something of themselves, so to speak, whether by hook or crook or legitimately. You don't know how they got to the top, but you know they're at the top of whatever, and therefore they command a little bit of respect just because of that.
Was he a well-to-do man?
No.
He usually gave the appearance of one. I mean, he would drive the T-Bird, the Thunderbird. He dressed nicely. Might have been the same clothes for several weeks, but...
And the T-Bird was his show of big importance, but before that it was just a cheap little Datsun, mm-hmm. You don't even have those anymore, Datsuns, but...
in the essence of people who might not have heard it, tell the story about Scotty and his dog. We went through it earlier, but we didn't actually say what happened.
Well, Scotty was a... pizza restaurant owner in Findlay, and I guess a fairly substantial one. And one of his loves was hunting, and he had a group of sporting dogs and everything. And I don't know how to describe it all because I'm not a hunter, but Eric might be able to throw in some words there. But one day, one of his dogs, Bongo, which we came to learn, died, and Scotty wanted to have it, stuffed. And so he put it in his walk-in freezer in the back of the pizza shop there and was going to have it stuffed, in due time. Unfortunately, there was a kid's birthday party going on, you know, out front of his dining area one night, and they had the father there, you know, filming his daughter's birthday with the video camera and everything, and it was also that time of the month when the health department decides to come in, so the health department comes in and does their surprise inspection, they're inspecting it, and I don't know, Scotty might have been sweating bullets at that point, but they go back there, and they find this frozen dead dog in Scotty's freezer, and they drag it out, and the guy filming the birthday
party. By the children?
By the children, the guy filming the birthday party, filming them dragging out this dead dog, and it was big news, and Finley, and Scotty were sat down that night.
Film at 11.
Film at 11 there. I'm sure that the father must have got rich off of selling that film or something like that, you know. And, but it was big news in Finley. Scotty was closed.
Permanently.
Now, is he still with us, or is he gone on?
I don't know. I don't...
Wonder what his side of the story is.
It might be the newspaper or something. We should do some research there. Because we could look him up. We could do an internet search on him.
Because he might have a whole different perspective on this.
But he was closed. But anyway, then, you know, Mike and Charlie are looking to expand, and they said, well, let's go to Finley. It's a nearby. You know, they're looking at various nearby cities. They go to Mount Vernon and Finley and a couple of Delaware. But they go to Finley, and I don't know how they came across Scotty. I don't know if they went to a broker or a real estate dealer or something like that. But their paths crossed with Scotty. He said, I got a great store to sell you. I'm leaving. I'm moving to Alaska or wherever he's going, you know, and I want to get out of business now. You can have it, you know, pennies on the dollar. And so Scotty sold his business to Charlie and Mike. They reopened in a new name, new health insurance licenses and everything like that, and put, you know, new signage out front and everything, and changed the store, but people still would come in and go, hey, where's Scotty's dead dog? You know, I mean, they never, ever forgot the dead dog story, you know, and in the years that I was there, it was always making, you know, an appearance at least once a week. Somebody would come in and ask for that, you know.
Well, that does kind of, like, etch itself into your mind.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I think that would stick around for a while, unfortunately.
What was Scotty's last name?
McPhil? McKill? I do have that.
That's a trivia question for Bob.
Yeah, there you go.
I do have that.
Bob can't answer that. Maybe he should give away his second book.
Yeah, he'll have to give away another book here. We know Mary is...
There it is. I do have it.
We have his name.
McCrill. McRill. Scotty McCrill.
McCrill. Now, how old would he have been at this time?
I never met the man.
Oh, you never met the man?
No, I mean, he was long gone. But the only thing that
he left town.
Was a memory.
He's probably still in the witness relocation program after that.
He did nothing. Well, I don't know. I guess he did something wrong. He had a dog and was walking. But I never met the man. But I met lots of people who knew him. And actually, some of them said that he bore a resemblance, or Charlie bore a resemblance to Scotty.
Oh, really?
You know, mustache and everything, and black hair and everything, and so, you know, we would get people who sometimes would come in and think, Charlie with Scotty, you know, and this is all, this
that
is all.
That he was back in business.
Yeah, this is all a big scam, and that didn't help anything either. Mm. Yeah, so
when it, again, for people who might wonder, why did you write the book?
I just wanted to get it off my chest at that point, you know, and there was a lot of good stories to tell, and I tried to include those in the book there. And it just kind of came to me, you know, piece by piece, one of our friends, we would sit around and, you know, in this restaurant late at night, and the story would come back, I'd write them down and everything, and it just kind of pieced itself together into a story there, and it just felt like the thing to do.
How would you describe the book?
I think it's a fun read and it's entertaining. I tried to make it a little informative, you know, on the kind of, you know, so you get a little glimpse on how a business, you know, should run, maybe by the mistakes being made or the things that are being done right, how it shouldn't be run, you know. But I think it was always a fun read.
It really is. And the people who have read that, I think, feel the same way. And it's at the Historical Society. Mary, we're going to get you an autographed copy here at the station of Three Pies Hot. We'll grab one of those. And how would you describe the whole experience in one word, Eric? What would you say?
Fun.
Fun. It was fun.
It was absolutely a blast.
Why different than other jobs?
It was fast-paced. You were dealing with intelligent people for the most part. You know, birds of a feather have a tendency to flock together, and that was one of the things where, yes, we were hiring fairly large percentages of quality people, because when you walked in to put in your application, we didn't have online anything back then, but you actually walked into the store, and you could feel the energy. People were moving fast. They were doing a good job, and blowing by you at a high rate of speed to get a pizza out the door and to the customer. And a lot of our employees had eaten our pizza before and knew the quality was there, and it was a sense of pride.
Bob, one word.
I'm going to go with the opposite. I'm going to go with the frustration.
Frustration. So it was a frustrating time for you.
There was a lot of fun there involved, but the book was born out of the frustration of it. And I tried to convey the fun, you know. But when people came in, the other thing was that you don't see nowadays in some of the pizza shops, it was clean.
Yes.
You'd go to the front of that store.
Sparkling clean.
And that's something you didn't see in the later years, that you'd go in there and you could, you know, write your name in the dust there and come back next week and it'd still be there. But in the first, you know, 3 years or so, I mean, we were scrubbing and cleaning every time. And You know, and we hired one guy just to do the cleaning. and he got bored. Boss, can I do something else? All right, well, he can take a delivery.
Well, I tell you, it's always a fun visit, Eric Warren and Bob Welch, the Great Race Pizza Shop. Thank you so much for the plaque. That is great. And Mary, we will have your book here, and I'm sure we will have another visit in the future. Glenn Coble coming up in 15 minutes. Stay tuned.
Exactly what was going to happen. So I began my defense on it, trying to jerk Oswald behind me. And I was moving him behind me when he took two steps forward and he put him in arm reach. In my reach, I reached over and grabbed him by the